Before I go any further, Tom, this is for you, but everybody can listen in. When we sang that song, Step Out a Little Deeper, what I'm going to share in just a moment, you will really get a hold on that. When God wants you to do something, I usually wait for confirmation. But when you get the confirmation, you go with it. And watch God do what he does. And then this morning when we heard that someone got saved, that's what this whole thing is all about. That's what everything we do, everything we say, every place we go is our people coming to know the Lord. So Tom, I just thought I'd mention that because you struggled for that. I struggled with this. God knows where we're heading. So just to give you a little background about us, my wife and I moved to Vancouver Island in 73, thinking it was just to go find a job. In 76, she came down with Hodgkin's cancer stage 4. If there's anybody here that's medically inclined, you know that's terminal. That's curtains. She went through a year in Vancouver Cancer Clinic, and everything just went from bad to worse. Eventually, we got a phone call saying, we're sending her home. There's nothing more we can do. Make her comfortable. We all know what that means. But then God got involved. There were people praying for her all over the island, down as far as Mississauga, Ontario, and she started getting better. Now, it was hopeless. She's never been back for a recall in all of 45 years. Never once has she been back for a recall. This is God at work. She started to get better, and we said, Lord, what on earth do you have planned for us? And things started to happen. We wound up doing ministry in a logging camp, like in BC, logging is king the way oil is out here. And we saw God save people. We saw miracles. We saw demonic things happen that were just amazing. But God was in control of all of it. There are people today that are serving the Lord that they never thought they'd darken the doors of a church. Never thought they would see that. We have seen people. We had one lady, I'll just mention this, my wife will get a chuckle out of this. One lady wanted to find out if the church was genuine. She came to church dressed like she'd just come out of a barn feeding the pigs. Next week she came to church dressed like she was going to a high finesse party. Next week she came to church as if she was heading to the beach. When she finally got saved, she says, I was testing you to see what you thought of me. I want you to think about that one. She says, I was checking you out to see if you would accept me in any of my circumstances, any of how I was, who I was, what I came from, my background. And she says, you're genuine. And on that point, folks, what I'm feeling here this morning is God's Spirit through what Tom said, the young lady getting saved testimony. The Spirit of God is here this morning. And he doesn't care who's sitting beside you. He doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care about your educational level. He cares about your soul. And that's the God we serve. So we were up there for many years, and then we went to Bible college, and that was an uneventful time in the sense that I was called out of college and went to do a boat work on the coast where ministry was a long ways between pews. That's one of the big things we did. We took a boat or a float plane. And we did that for a number of years. And then we wound up in northern Saskatchewan for a short time. And then due to events that were not nice, we left the ministry and we had some what I call the quiet years. God works no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're involved in. And at the same time, my wife wrote a book called The Final Schedule Revealed. Pastor Shannon has a copy of it. And the things she talked about 20 years ago are now being talked about and taught today by Messianic Jews, by Gentile Christians, which is us. And they're finding out that God has a time schedule. It's well written. It's well documented. And so we want to just touch on a couple of those things. So that's my passion. And one thing is, I don't speak for 20 minutes and quit, or 10 minutes and quit, or half an hour and quit. I just go till I'm finished, and that's how long it takes. And that's just how I am. And so we're going to take a look at one or two things that are really striking as of late. How many of you, when you read God's Word, any part of it, Old and New Testament, you say there's got to be more to it? There's something else here. I can sense it. There's something else here I'm not getting. For many years, I wondered about the whole crucifixion picture. How many of you know that Christ died on Passover? Sure, we got some. That was part of God's timetable. That was part of the plan that God had laid out, because the festivals of Israel, or the convocations of Israel, were dress rehearsals for the real thing. We all know they're dress rehearsal for a wedding. You do this, and the real comes later. Okay, they were all convocations or dress rehearsals. So Jesus died on Passover, and he actually said so himself in Matthew 26:2. He said, I am going to die 3 days from now. So this was 3 days before the Feast of Passover. Have you ever read that? I missed that for years. I just read over it. And we do too much of that. But it says that he died on Passover. Now, I'll throw this out just for a question. How many of you know what feast he rose on? When Jesus rose from the dead, what feast was that? It was the Feast of First Fruits. I see people starting to nod, so that's good, because we're getting the idea that the convocations that God gave were dress rehearsals for something that was coming. Jesus rose on the Feast of First Fruits because it was the real thing. The precursor to that had happened years ago. They all knew about it was coming. Now, the rapture someday is going to happen on the Feast of Trumpets. Has anyone studied the Feast of Trumpets? Anyone know anything about it? Oh, there's one or two hands. The Feast of Trumpets has to do with the coronation of the king. This I could spend hours on this. But the Feast of Trumpets is a coronation of the king, and Israel kept this regularly every year. And we know that, and I'm just going to read some scriptures here because my Bible is a little bit big to have here. We know that these things are coming to pass. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. That is a wedding ceremony to start with. That's a wedding ceremony. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In an Israeli wedding back in the time when Christ was walking the earth, the groom would make a home for his bride at his father's house. And the bride would make herself ready at a different location. When the time come for the wedding, the groom would not know when his dad was going to say, now it's time for the wedding. He wouldn't know this. The father gave the call that the wedding is to start. Not the groom. The father of the groom did. And he would say, now is the time. When he said that, they would say, and they would ceremoniously crown the groom as a king. This was all part of what they would do. And they say, the king is coming. They would shout. They would have all kinds of noise. Trumpets would be blown. The marriage was on. Jesus is calling on that very picture when he talks about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I've gone to prepare a place for you. We are the bride of Christ. And when the time comes, he's going to blow a trumpet. There's going to be a loud shout. Everybody's going to know what's happening. And we go to meet with the Lord. That's where the Feast of Trumpets is not only the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's the coronation of the king. When we get to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be crowned king. King of Israel, King of all of us. And the other one I want to read here is one that Paul wrote. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those which fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Get this now. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All of this fits in the marriage ceremony that the Lord talked about. It's also the coronation of the king at the same time. We talk about stepping out a little deeper. If I went into every one of these phrases, we could be here for a month of Sundays. There's another one here. Paul is saying, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. So the Feast of Trumpets is going to happen one day. We don't know when. But when the Lord decides to call this marriage, starts it to happen, the Feast of Trumpets will be the day on which he comes. When, we don't know. Will it be this September 18th and 19th, or will it be next year? When the Lord said, you don't know the day nor the hour, that's because the Father knows. You and I will never know. But we will know which feast he's coming on. That is in Scripture. When Paul said the trump shall sound, he's referring to the Feast of Trumpets some year. And the way the world is going, I got a feeling it's closer rather than further away. I think it's very close. That's my personal belief, that if it's not this September, let's wait and see what happens next year. If it's not next year, it'll be on the Feast of Trumpets. Paul makes that very clear. And one thing that we want to take a good look at is this. There is one thing that I'm still looking for, and this goes back a little bit. Jesus said we should know the times and the seasons. And the Pharisees of his day made a big mistake, and I trust God that we don't do the same thing, but we might, we probably do. But he said, you should have known when I came the first time. I don't know, Larry, I've never heard a sermon on knowing when Jesus came the first time. Oh, Pastor Shannon knows that. Okay, there you are. But the Lord said, you should have known when I came the first time. That tells me I should know approximately about all the other things that are happening, especially where the Feast of Trumpets is concerned. It will happen. It will happen. And we can be confident that when God says something, he's going to do it. He said, a long, long time back in Israel's history, because I change not, you, Israel, are not consumed and done away with. He said, you've made such a mess of things. If I was a changing God, I would have got rid of the whole lot. But God doesn't change. So if God doesn't change, these things are going to happen. The festivals of Israel should have been called convocations because they're all dress rehearsals for what is coming. They're all dress rehearsals for what is coming. And this one that my wife and I have been looking at for a while now, the Feast of Trumpets, is an amazing thing. Because you have a trumpet. Someone here played a shofar a while ago. Was it you? Can you imagine you're blowing the trumpet, and the thing is, you would blow a series of 99 blasts. And the last one you blow is prolonged. It's prolonged. And then at the end of that blast, the sky's open and Jesus comes. Because somebody's going to do that one day. That's literally going to happen one day. where they'll be on their Feast of Trumpets, they'll be blowing the trumpets, the ceremony will be in progression, and at the last sound, as the note starts to die away, heaven opens. And we go to be with the Lord for the marriage supper of the Lamb, the crowning of the King. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's right. You know, we have a testimony of a young lady getting saved. We have the testimony of her brother having difficulty getting his thoughts together. This is just what we know on the surface, but how many people are getting saved somewhere else we haven't heard about? We should be glad for them. What I'm trying to do this morning is have a SynCat Torah. Do you know what that is? Who knows what that is? Anybody know what that is? It's the joy of the Word. A SynCat Torah means the joy of the Word. At the end of a year, when they finish when the rabbis would finish reading their yearly portion, which they read every Saturday, they would have what they call a SynCat Torah, where they have a ceremony saying, "Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for your word." And that's all the ceremony was about, thanking God for his word. That's all it was about. How many times do we say, "Thank you, Lord, we have the ability to still have this"? In BC, there's legislations on the book right now by a former NDP government that says this is hate literature in BC if they want to implement it. Right here, this, right here. If they want to implement it, it's hate literature in BC. We're not that far away from Jesus breaking through the clouds and saying, "It's over. It's finished. Come on home. It's time for the wedding. It's time for the coronation." When we get into a Bible study, we're not there to make somebody feel good. We're there to say, "Let's get into God's Word." I want to show something or share something that I find amazing. This is in Exodus 18:20. "Teach them the statutes in the law," or Torah, or Word, "and make them known, and make known to them the way which they are to walk and the work they are to do." Okay? "Your righteousness is everlasting. Your law," or the word, "is true." That's Psalms 119, verse 142. The teaching, or the word, is the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snare of death, Proverbs 13:14. One thing there was the same in all of them. And this is what I really enjoy. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Where did that concept come from that he was teaching? It came from the word, or the law. But there's another thing here that really strikes me. In John 14:6, it said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." What name of God was in there that I just ran over? One of the names of God is I Am. So when Moses went to Pharaoh, he says, "I Am has sent me to you." I Am is the way. I Am is the truth. And I Am is the life. To me, that's amazing. I have read over that so many times over the years and missed that completely. So as your song said, Tom, step a little deeper. Don't be afraid to question what you're reading. Don't be afraid to say, "Well, I need some help understanding this. Who can I go to? Who's got maybe a study book or the knowledge or the background?" Step a little deeper. In the middle of it all, you may find some things happen that you're not really wanting. They may surprise you. They may be enjoyable. But they happen. But step a little deeper. I want to say God, here's your word. Show me what's new. Show me what's different. Show me where you're leading me. And things will happen. Things will happen. When we were ministering in this logging camp, there was a fella who didn't love the Lord. His wife did. And she was stepping a little deeper into God's word. She had come out of Jehovah's Witness. She was getting into God's word, and it was really great. Her husband was a faller, and this one day he went out in the bush, and as he was taking a tree down, there's what they call the widowmaker, which is the top part of the tree that dies, and there's spikes and everything sticking out. And it hit another tree and snapped off. And it came down, and it hit him, and it pinned him right to the ground. It pinned him right to the ground. When everybody ran up to him, they expected to see this guy gone, basically. But they found the spikes went by him. That does not happen in the bush, people. It does not happen. And he lived because God says, your time is not yet. Your time is not yet. We all have an appointment. We all have a moed, which is a Hebrew word for appointment. We all have that time. This young lady got saved. That was her moed with God. It was her appointment with God. God was waiting for her to come. If God calls you through the word, through a song, get it confirmed and then run with it. If I can encourage you in any one thing, when God calls you, go with it. We have seen God do some amazing things through taking the word and as best as you're able, put it in here, and then just go with it. You might get opposition, but if you do, so what? You think Moses didn't have opposition? Oh man, read it. He had lots of it because he wasn't afraid to do what God wanted him to do. So whenever Yeshua, which is a Hebrew name for Jesus, refers to himself as I, we can also say Torah, we can also say word. Now think about how this all comes together, who our God is, how Scripture is so intricately written. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's one other thing we just want to share here. Oh, how I love your Torah. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you believe it, put it into practice. If you believe it strong enough, you run with it and let God take care of the consequences. One thing we learned years ago, that when we're sharing God's word, I never worry about what will come from it. I leave that with God. Otherwise, I think I would be a little bit harried. But you let God do the work for what you're saying, what you're doing, and where you are. I'll just show you in like I say, in closing, I don't preach long, but we had a thing where we were ministering and our vehicle broke down, so we needed some help getting into this place. So a brother that had just got saved, him and his wife came and got us. We went up and had our services, and coming back out, we had about an hour of travel on logging roads. And in BC, logging roads are something like you've never seen out here. They are stupidly crazy roads. A pothole will bury your car. So we were coming out. There was our family in their vehicle, plus his family. We come around a corner, and we're looking at the grill of a logging truck. As I'm, my wife is right there, she can verify this. We're looking at the grill of a logging truck. The ditch on one side is 6 feet down. On the other side, there was a lake. What do you do? I was in the back seat. There was her, this guy's wife, and him driving. And I spun around on the seat and dropped down because I knew it was lights out. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, I heard somebody say, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. When I got back up to my seat, I said, what can't we believe? And one of them says, God took our vehicle, put it over a 6 to 8 foot ditch. The logging truck went by and he put our car back in the road. I get a little choked over that because we were there. You haven't read that in the book. We were there. When God wants you to do something, nothing will stop you from doing it. But if you're out of God's step, I think he will gently say, not that way, do it this way. But if you're doing what God wants, he'll see you get in, he'll see you get out. Some of our dear saints in days past have lost their lives doing God's work. Were they wrong? No. No, they were doing what God wanted them to do. They were where God wanted them to be. We have been in the boat ministry. Here again where God steps in. We were leaving a village. We went from one place to another. It was black as night. And we had a big spotlight where we used to shine along the beach and we'd see animals and all kinds of stuff. It was gorgeous. But as we were heading out, all of a sudden my son hollered, "Dad, stop!" Why? He said, "I see a sinker," which is a log just under the surface of the water. I heeled the boat over, stopped it, and as we looked over the bow of the boat, there was a log right there by the edge of the boat. This is God getting in our way in a good way. God just says, "No, no, not yet. Not yet." Folks, like I said at the beginning, Simchat Torah. Praise God for his word. Praise God for what he does. Praise God for where he takes you, even if you can't understand where you've been and what you're doing. Study this, and if you can, go deeper, the song. Step a little deeper. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Don't be hesitant. Embrace it. If in doubt, let go and let God. And let God fill in the blanks. Let go and let God fill in the blanks. And then watch what God can do. We've been to some amazing situations where God is in control. There's no two ways about it. So I want to say to the younger people here, you're not too young to take your family into the work of God. You're not. Our kids have slept on the benches while people were preaching. Who cared? Who cared? Don't say, "Well, my kids are only 4 or 5. They can't." Oh, yes, they can go. Show them what God can do. Show them what God's word in action. So whether it's learning about the feasts and the festivals of Israel, which is a marvelous thing to get into, or if it's the everyday things in life, take the word of God with you. And if you're our age, you're not too old, because as I said to Pastor before he left, there's no retirement plan in the body of Christ. There's no retirement plan. There isn't any. God says there's a work for everyone all the time. Find your slot, get people behind you, and run with it. That's what I want to encourage you with this morning. Step a little deeper. Oh, no kidding. And it'll be scary at times. Because you don't know. God doesn't have to tell you what's coming tomorrow. He just wants you to follow him. Man, that's tough. Holy moly, that's tough. But let go and let God, and let him fill in the blanks. So that's what I feel we have for you this morning. I trust that God will say, step a little deeper, reach out. Study God's word to know where we are on his schedule, because his schedule has been revealed to us. His schedule has been revealed to us. And the feasts and the festivals of Israel, or you could say the convocations of Israel, are part of that. They're the major theme of Scripture. And all it means is all of those things that God gave Israel, they are convocations, they are dress rehearsals for the main event. And I want to be part of the main event. Right? Right. So Pastor Larry, I will turn it back to you. God bless you.